Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. How are you, Ilan?
I am good. Thank God. Parashat Tazria.
Parashat Tazria is a very interesting Torah portion. Generally, if you look during the normal year, we would read Tazria and Metzora the following week's Torah portion together.
Yeah.
We find that a lot of times in the Torah portion. We find Achremot Kedoshim and Vayakel Pukudei, a lot of them, they would read together. However, when we have a leap year,
like this year,
correct, we separate them. So they are, each one has its own week.
Okay.
But one of the Torah portions that is talked, one of the mitzvot, sorry, the commandments that are talked about in this week's Torah portion, is the concept of the leprosy, if someone speaks Lashon Hara, the evil slander, what happens to that person. And we also talk about a Brit Milah, circumcision.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting to note that, you know, when a baby is born, you know, everyone's so excited and everyone's screaming Mazal Tov, and now, you know, the rush starts to begin. Who do we call first? You know, do we call the mothers first, the siblings first? Do we call our friends? Who are we going to tell first? And then,
you call the mohel.
Yeah, sure. But hold on a second, not so fast. A lot of people forget about that. And, you know, every, you know, you want to be careful with, you don't want to insult anyone, who you want to call first, and so on. And every call that you make brings new questions. What is the baby's weight, and the size, and the eye color, and does it have a lot of hair, and not hair? Is it a boy, is it a girl? And, you know, then you have people asking, if it's a boy, did you call the moyo? Oh, I forgot, right, the moyo, I almost forgot to call him, what am I going to do? So what happens, you quickly run and you try and get hold of a moyo, and you know, you're going to ask if he's going to be available to do such a procedure in 8 days. It can't be 9 days, and it can't be 7 days. It's got to be exactly 8 days. And the question is asked, why eight? And the Torah tells us in Vayikra and Leviticus that the circumcision has to be on the eighth day, because on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin, as the Torah says, has to be circumcised.
Yeah.
But the question is, why is the Torah in such a rush? Can give the poor child, give the parents, you know, give them some time to recuperate. They just had a baby. They got to then now go and worry about the caterers. And they got to worry about the moel. Maybe the moel's out of town. What are we going to do then? Everyone's going crazy. Don't even know what to do. Why is such a rush? Take our time. Let us see what's going on. See what's happening first. But there are reasons why we do it specifically on the eighth day. And if you think about it, let's look a little bit deeper into what is really the meaning of
eight.
What is eight? Why the circumcision? Why that is, if you think about it, the universal bond. Let's try and figure out why is it so important, first of all, for a person to have a circumcision. And everyone that's born is born with natural instincts for ourselves. Babies, if you think about it, are intrinsically selfish. They cry, you know, when they want to be fed. They scream and they want you to hold them, and if you don't hold them, they'll scream even louder. They don't care about anyone else's feelings or interests. And if you think about it, from the earliest moments of our lives, we sort of place ourselves and our needs ahead of anyone else. We don't care about anyone else. And as a baby, this attitude is cute. You know, it's charming. It's very nice. Everyone's saying, wow, what a cute baby. He does this, he does that. He screams, obviously, you know, he's hungry. Everyone's giving the most attention to him. However, if this attitude is left unchecked, what happens is, later on in life, it quickly loses its charm.
Yeah, you don't want it like that till the bar mitzvah.
Exactly. You know, we become very demanding as toddlers, and then specifically as children, and then when we become an adult at a bar mitzvah, imagine your kid's going to be screaming at a bar mitzvah, I want to eat food. Well, you need to first just do your thing. No, this is what I want. So it's not such a charming thing anymore. And the work of purification and, refinement has to begin early. There is really no time to wait, because circumcision rarely purifies and refines a person. It forces us, for the lack of better terms, to make a sacrifice. We as men, males, could have been created without a foreskin. However, Hashem wanted us to remove it ourselves. And this is to demonstrate that as we complete the physical appearances of our bodies, so can we perfect our personalities as they shape, as they keep on going. And, you know, obviously our soul. And people don't know it, but circumcision is obviously a lot of times delayed when a baby's, God forbid, sick, or jaundiced. As Maimonides, who was a huge doctor and well-respected person, he wrote that danger to the baby's life is the overriding consideration. So if it's got to be in 3 weeks, then we're doing it in 3 weeks.
It's like pikuach nefesh dochei Shabbat.
Correct, exactly. People that don't know what Ilan just said, but pikuach nefesh is if it's a dangerous thing,
yeah.
A very big risk, it pushes away all the Torah laws. There is no Torah law at that specific time. You can drive, whatever it may be. And if you think about it, what a bris does, it's a universal bond, because our sages saw that circumcision was as the future of a Jewish identity. A testimony that we are a unique body, and we are, obviously, a unique soul. We are one soul. Everyone is equal. And the mystics, Kabbalah, explains that as we remove the foreskin and reveal the organ beneath, a veil, a covering, is simultaneously lifted from our soul that reveals our intrinsic bond with God. And in this, it shows the universal mark of all Jews, that we all have this intrinsic bond between us and God. And based on that, circumcision does not cause this bond. It reveals it. In the sense that circumcision is different from all the other commandments, if you think about it. Why? Because all the other commandments make a new connection between us and God. Every time we do a new commandment, it gives us a new connection between us and God. It adds a new brick to the Beit HaMikdash that is going to be built,
yes.
That is being built. However, circumcision reveals our existing connection with God. It doesn't add a connection between us and God. It reveals what that existing connection was already there. Now, just so everyone can understand what the Kabbalah is trying to say, I was just thinking of a illustration that, if you think about a dark room that we could give it light, illuminate it by one of two methods. We can either turn on the light, and boom, there goes the darkness, or we can remove a covering from the windows and allow all the sunshine, all the light to come into the room. Now, the two ways of making the light in the room are totally different ways, because the first method creates, putting on the light, limited amount of light where there was darkness before. I switch off the light, there you go, I still have the darkness.
Yeah.
However, the second method of taking off the cover reveals an unlimited source of light that is already there. We're not revealing the sun. The sun is there. We're just uncovering what we're able to benefit from. So what we're doing is we're just uncovering the light that's there. We're not creating the light. We're creating it when we take that creation away. That light ceases to exist. So circumcision works in that same way. All the other commandments forge a new connection and draw as the Kabbalah says, a new divine light into our world. Every time we do a new commandment. However, circumcision reveals the intense, the intense bond that we already enjoy with God. The bond that God forges with all the Jews at the moment of birth. And if our bond with Hashem, with God, were forged through circumcision, in other words, we reveal that intrinsic bond between us and God, so even one day of the delay of circumcision would be catastrophic, would be terrible. Why? Because it would mean that we would be losing a full day of divine connectivity between us and God.
I see.
And so therefore, in truth, our bond between us and God is intrinsic. We're born with it. We have it. We have to reveal it. And by delaying the extra day, if we don't have to, then what's happening is we're delaying our intrinsic bond is not revealed with God. However, doing the circumcision does not affect the bond. In other words, we do the circumcision, it reveals the bond that we have with God. It helps us connect our intrinsic bond that we had and we still have. Now we're just revealing it. So when, obviously, a baby's healthy, the circumcision cannot be delayed because you don't want to waste one even day. You don't want to waste 1 minute. And therefore, the Torah, the purpose of the Torah is to reveal the presence of God in our midst. So it's not enough to enjoy our divine bond in our hearts, it's also necessary to show it in action, show it with the circumcision. Therefore, I say, a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a Jew at my heart. It's a great thing, but we need to be able to reveal and be proud in action that we're Jewish. And one of the things is if there is no illness, there is no reason why we shouldn't have a circumcision. Circumcision should never be delayed because that gives us and reveals an intrinsic bond that we have with God. It doesn't create the bond, but it reveals the bond that was already there, that God gave it to us, every single Jew, alike, the exact same bond. And I thought when I was reading that in the parasha this week, I thought that was a phenomenal lesson that I thought that we can apply to our lives.
Yeah.
So that is in regards with the Torah portion. And I think that hopefully we will start a two-part series on Pesach, which is coming up in less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That we can do next week or the following week, a two-part series trying to cover the traditions of Pesach, the reasons of Pesach, maybe some insights into Pesach. Maybe, I don't know, who knows, maybe we can even talk about a recipe. I'm not a great cook, but,
I can find one. We have a lot of great cooks in the community.
Yes, that's for sure.
For sure.
That's for sure. So that's, I'm hoping that would be a great, hopefully that we'll be able to do that next week. But talking, obviously, in regards to Pesach, April 18th is the first night Seder.
Yeah.
And April 19th is the second night Seder, and we are going to be having a communal Seder the first night, April 18th, which is going to be held at the congregation Shah HaShemayim.
Yeah.
And we do need to have, obviously, RSVPs for anyone that does want to come. They can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com. They can call the Shah HaShemayim's office, 519-256-3123. They can call Shari Tzedek, 519-252-1594, to reserve. Anyone that reserves before April 11th, an adult is $36, a child and student is $18. Any reservation after April 11th, an adult is $40, and a child and student is $20. Now, obviously, your check is your reservation, but just so we can have a number to be able to tell our caterer, Mazal, who would be catering a full, delicious course, you know, Pesach meal. We're going to have 4 cups of wine or grape juice, whatever it is, handmade shmura matzah, the handmade matzah that is made by hand, made in less than 18 minutes. We're going to be doing the Haggadah, translated and transliterated. People are involved. The kids are involved. There's traditional songs. So if anyone needs a Seder that you do not have, or you want to be able to feel the feeling of home or inspiration of community, you're more than welcome to join us, and please RSVP.
As soon as possible.
Yes, as soon as possible. So we have numbers. You know, last year we had a beautiful crowd of close to, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think like 60, 65 people. So we would we would like to know the crowd so we can make sure there's enough food for everyone.
Yeah, and I know that there is a second seder in the congregation Bet El as well.
Right, so everyone, both nights are covered if anyone needs it.
That's
good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep, and service is Friday night, 7:30, as Shabbat comes in this week at 7:39. And Shabbat morning, 9:00.
Okay. So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you for your knowledge and for sharing
with
us.
Thank you, and hopefully next week we'll get to Pesach. That should be very, very interesting. It's a beautiful holiday.
That would be great. So, Shabbat Shalom.
You too, and we'll speak out willing next week.
Thank you.